the Cherry Band from Ukraine with a contemporary pop arrangement of a traditional Ukrainian Easter hymn, Christos Voskres, Christ Has Risen. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. Говорить Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину, послухати чудову українську музику, і також ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have a great program lined up for you. This past week marked the 30th year since the world's worst nuclear disaster at Chernobyl in Ukraine, and we have some memories to share with you, as well as a special feature by the BBC World Service. As well, Easter, according to the Julian calendar, and some music and a lovely story from the Nash Holos Audio Vault. So stay tuned for all of that. We have our, of course, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a more traditional version of that Easter hymn, Christos Voskres, by the Vidubici Choir. Christos Voskres, Christos Voskres,
Смертю смерть,
On April 26, 1986, in the north part of Ukraine above Kyiv, the Chernobyl nuclear reactor exploded. This piece for the bandura that you just heard is called Infinite Flux, Bezmezhna Techia. It was written in April 1996 to mark 10 years of this horrific event. It was recorded on Monday, April 25th, and released on April 26th. The music was written by Marko Farion, a member of the Ukrainian Banduras Chorus based in Detroit. The following is a special feature by the BBC World Service, brought to you courtesy PCJ Radio.
Today, we're going back to the worst nuclear accident in history, to the 26th of April, 1986, when a reactor exploded at a nuclear power station in Chernobyl in Soviet Ukraine.
Scientists in Sweden are trying to locate the source of a sharp increase in the level of radioactivity in the atmosphere. Similar levels.
The first news of nuclear contamination in northern Europe came from Sweden.
A Swedish nuclear power station was closed down earlier today, but the authorities in Stockholm say they now believe the station was not the cause of any leak.
3 days later, the build-up of evidence from neighboring countries forced Moscow to disclose the accident.
The Soviet government reports an accident at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine. Measures are being taken to deal with the aftermath of the accident and to help those affected. According to the TASS news agency, this was the first such accident in the Soviet Union. There have been many disasters involving nuclear power plants abroad.
The first information appeared several days after disaster in the main Soviet newspaper, and it was a small announcement, like 2 by 2 inches.
Sergei Mirny was a 27-year-old civil chemical engineer from the Ukrainian city of Kharkov. Sergei, like many other graduates, had undergone military training and was an expert in chemical, biological and nuclear monitoring. Yet, despite his training, even he was not alarmed by the news.
Nobody was worried at all, because at that time nuclear energy was considered as absolutely safe. So, you know, it was just regarded by everyone as a, you know, ordinary industrial accident, which sometimes happens.
31 people died in the immediate aftermath of the explosion. Within hours, nuclear radiation in the nearest town of Pripyat reached life-threatening levels. Yet the town's 40,000 residents knew nothing apart from that there'd been a fire at the nuclear plant. 36 hours passed before authorities evacuated the town. It took another week to evacuate the next 30,000 people from Chernobyl, a town just 7 kilometers away from the plant, and dozens of nearby villages. Hundreds of those evacuated died in the next 3 months. Some of these lives could have been saved by prompt measures and information on how to deal with nuclear contamination, but the authorities were tight-lipped, allowing only a small item on the country's main news program.
It was confusing because we couldn't see anything. We only had the news report from the Soviet government, which was 3 lines on the news program Vremya.
Jackie Goff, a British student, was studying in the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, only 100 kilometres away from Chernobyl.
They really should have thought of the Soviet people. They were left thinking things were fine. You would if you only heard 3 lines on a news programme, which was the third item in order of importance. And whilst I was there, life was going on as normal.
But the winds blew the plume of radioactivity away from Kyiv to northern Ukraine and neighbouring Belarus, where in the months to come, thousands of people got thyroid cancer. Meanwhile, in the 10-kilometre area around the plant, evacuation, when it finally started, was ruthless. Residents were not allowed to take anything with them, not even their pets or children's toys. In order not to spread panic, people were told they would come back in 3 days. Most never saw their homes again. In May 1986, the reactor was still on fire, emitting radioactive smoke into the atmosphere and leaking radioactive particles into its foundations. However, on the 14th of May, the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev felt it was necessary to reassure the public.
Thanks to effective measures, the worst is behind us, and the gravest consequences have been averted.
Many Soviet people believed their leader, but when the chemical engineer Sergei Mirny was called up to the disaster zone in the middle of July, more than 2 months after the explosion, the Soviet military cleanup operation was still in full swing.
Everything was huge. Everything was epic. Huge nuclear power plant, a huge burst open exploded unit, a huge mitigation vehicle, many of them military vehicle, which were designed to act after atomic bombardment in World War III.
The soil around the nuclear plant was being dug up, thrown into ditches and covered with concrete. Helicopters were spraying the area to stop radioactive dust from rising into the air. Soldiers went around residential neighborhoods washing radioactive dust from pavements and walls. Hunting units shot all cats and dogs so that pets did not contaminate the humans working in the exclusion zone.
Tens of thousands of people teeming everywhere. In all kinds of uniforms and fatigues, you know, nobody in a normal civilian wear.
The scale of the nuclear contamination turned out to be more serious than previously thought. As the commander of a monitoring unit, Sergei measured and reported radiation levels in the 30-kilometer exclusion zone. Based on Sergei's data, the authorities ordered more villages to evacuate.
You cannot imagine this painful feeling when you see the live village and you know that tomorrow they will be told, go out of here.
Once villagers left, their homes were demolished and the rubble was buried.
And you can imagine, you know, this crying and suffering and pain, and you know it and you can do nothing about it. You cannot help these people.
Evacuation was particularly hard for the tens of thousands of peasants who had lived in the area for generations and who ended up in concrete apartment blocks in nearby towns, a totally alien environment for them.
I was struck by the stories of the people, former residents of this area, who illegally, using, guerrilla routes from the World War II, returned to their native places in order to take care of their vegetable garden, you know, to catch some fish, you know, to look after the house, you know. And it was very, very powerful. And they told me about their suffering when they were being evicted and how they lived in somebody else's house for unknown and undefined period. And it pained me a lot. It still pains me, you know. And that is why, as an expert in mitigation of radiation accident, I am always attentive to the needs of the local people, you know. And I suggest a policy of very selective eviction.
The 30-kilometer exclusion zone around Chernobyl is still in place. Sergei, who now conducts tours around the exclusion zone, believes the wild, overgrown area has something to teach us about nuclear energy and about nature.
Technically and ecologically, the mitigation was rather efficient. And so I realized it's necessary to start using the zone in a positive way and to change its symbolic meaning. More than 15 years ago, I suggested to convert the zone into the Chernobyl National Park.
Plans to create a nature reserve in the exclusion zone are still under discussion. But the disaster in Chernobyl has changed the nuclear industry. It has become more transparent and accountable as a result. That's it from this edition of Witness with me, Dina Newman.
Many thanks to the BBC World Service and PCJ Radio International for this special feature presented here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Vyslúchajte radioprogramu Náš holos Radio Ukrajinského Koriňa po mreži PCJ Radio, jaká podiete vám anglickou mluvou z Británskou Kolumbii v Kanadě. You're listening to Náš holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
The world was changed for good that day, and we were just an element, the victims of an accident or nuclear experiment. Our occupiers played a god that none of them believed in, and gave us all the devil, but no choice, we had to breed him. The hammer banged, raised fallout dust, the sickle of uranium. Poisoned lands and rivers, Belarusian and Ukrainian. These symbols now mean more than ideology that failed. They spell the Soviet sin that to this very day prevails. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? Their sickness lives in old and young, in children also blameless. A parting gift from a regime whose second name was Shameless. There's something I can't understand, this crime was so severe. Yet he who tried to hide it is a man now most revered. The sheep from Wales and Norway then got too sick to ignore. It seems for world opinion that their illness counted more than all the wrongs the Red Star brought to many eastern nations. Yet somehow it's still cool for some to guard its reputation. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be? They read deluded diatribe by so-called expert thinkers in cafe bars in Islington, then preach to normal drinkers. A blind eye to the crimes of one, but we're all taught the other. Swastika, hammer, sickle, had the same bitch for a mother. Try Molotov and Ribbentrop in 1939. They planned to share out Europe, that was once upon a time. But 25 years ago was born Forbidden Zone. It's still today for some poor souls a poisoned place called home. Chernobyl, there was a time when you could breathe. Chernobyl, you also had a history. Chernobyl, born in 1193. Chernobyl, did scripture say it was to be?
That was an original composition by Britain's Stepan Pasichnik, also known as Ludwig, and that was called simply Chernobyl. Up next is a special report that Keith Perron brings us regarding the role that amateur radio played in bringing the news of Chernobyl to the world.
At the end of April 1986, Jonathan Marks, host of Media Network on Radio Netherlands Worldwide, along with many thousands of people around the world, had no idea at what happened in Ukraine. People living in the Netherlands were celebrating Queen's Day. Jonathan tuned to Radio Moscow and Radio Kiev, but they didn't give many details either. We now take a listen to a piece Jonathan did on Media Network about the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. This was originally broadcast on the 2nd of May, 1986, on Radio Netherlands.
The Soviet government reports an accident at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine, resulting in damage to one of the plant's nuclear reactors. Measures are being taken to deal with the aftermath of the accident and to help those affected.
Radio Kiev, much closer to the stricken reactor site, said exactly the same thing on Monday. Only during Tuesday afternoon did the event start to get described as a disaster. Bearing in mind that the reactor accident happened on Saturday, one wonders if radiation had not been detected in Sweden and Finland, whether the Soviet media would have reported the problem at all. As news of the disaster became apparent, we turned to the amateur radio bands, namely 20 and 40 metres, to see whether ham radio might be used for emergency calls. Amateur radio operators in the Ukraine use call signs to identify themselves, beginning with UB5, UT5, UY5 or UZ5. We checked with the Dutch National Amateur Radio Society and the Radio Society of Great Britain to find out whether any emergency calls from the stricken area have been received. Two listeners in Western Europe, one in Denmark, the other here in Holland, claimed to have heard Soviet amateurs at different times describing the disaster. But these conversations haven't been heard by anyone else. Signals from amateurs in the Ukraine are being well heard at the moment, but the topics of conversation are limited to the usual amateur radio jargon. It's very unusual for it to be anything else. Pat Gowan is the European coordinator for the amateur radio satellite organisation AMSAT and regularly in touch with Soviet amateurs. As Pat's also involved in a number of propagation experiments, we asked him whether the Soviet nuclear disaster could affect the ionosphere and therefore radio conditions.
I wouldn't have thought it would have gone up as far as the ionosphere. It would take an enormous heat plume to take it up even to about 30 or 40 miles, Jonathan. Certainly, if the radiation level is very, very high indeed, you could certainly get ionization and local high noise levels, but I can't see a plume going up to, 300 kilometres. Well, we thought that we could hear higher noise level and effects following some of the big H tests, which they had at Bikini Atoll and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But probably these were due to magnetic disturbances and the sort of long-term effects of the EMP. Enormous quantities of earth and water vapour were chucked up very high
mm-hmm.
with the heat. Well, I don't think you'd have had this. It's a scale, nothing like this.
No.
I think you could almost definitely say there would be no effects, Jonathan.
That piece was produced and presented by Jonathan Marks and originally aired on Media Network on Radio Netherlands Worldwide on the 2nd of May, 1986.
And special thanks to Keith Perron for preparing that special report for Nash Holos. Up next, Taras Petrenenko from Ukraine and Chernobylska Zona.
Чекався таки врешті-решт відповідного сходу. І плоду білокровий наш страх, чорнокровий наш сміх, ані спасу не. Thank you.
ми слухняно крокуєм, мов Богом забуті навіки. Каліки, рукотворна біда чернівецьких дітей і лахміття земного озону. Чи скінчиться потік смертоносних вістей, що співзвучні тобі? Чорнобильська зона.
Welcome to Victor's Vignettes, stories about life in Soviet and post-Soviet Ukraine by Viktor Sergeyev of Mykolaiv, Ukraine. I am Serhiy Kaznadiy in Toronto. Kyiv has always been a wonderful place to visit, especially in the spring. I always took great pleasure in walking around Kyiv, enjoying the sights and the scent of the blossoming cherry and chestnut trees, and of course the gorgeous girls. In April of 1986, I had to travel to Kyiv to take extension courses for work. I was told I needed to brush up on my propaganda skills. 3 weeks after I arrived, a flurry of rumors began flying around. Something had happened in Chernobyl. However, there was no information in the mass media, so nobody really took it seriously. But one day I noticed something unusual. A small piece of paper at the public telephone office that sent a shiver down my spine. It said, no connection to Chernobyl and Pripyat. Obviously, then, the rumors were true. There was indeed a serious problem in Chernobyl and Pripyat. On the other hand, it was, after all, only a note about telephone service being down. Nothing particularly unusual about that. Maybe it really was just a strange coincidence. So life went on as usual. For most people living in and visiting Kyiv, it was just another wonderful spring to enjoy. Then a few days later, everything changed. The rest of the world had found out about the nuclear disaster in Chernobyl and Pripyat, so Soviet authorities could no longer pretend that nothing had happened. So finally we knew the truth. These are things I still remember. Water hoses. They were along and across every street so that workers could thoroughly wash down the pavement. Plenty of red wine. Every little shop was packed floor to ceiling with boxes of red wine. Rumor had it that red wine reduced the effects of radiation poisoning. Of course, no one really knew for sure, but better safe than sorry. Long lists of additional buses and trains leaving Kyiv. Public showers. Usually they were open Monday to Saturday from 10 in the morning until 10 at night. Now every existing public shower was operational 24/7. Official incompetence. Everyone in Kyiv scrambled to find dosimeters or radiation detectors, desperately accosting friends, retired military men, and occasional street sellers. The few that were found turned out to be old, shabby museum pieces. Those that actually did work displayed technical data that was totally meaningless to non-military personnel. Widespread panic. It was the perpetual state of everyone in Kyiv. Railway tickets back home were the most valued treasures. Lots of rumors. Everyone had an opinion, and they were sure they were right. But nobody really knew anything for sure. News from the West was blocked, and the Soviet regime was not exactly forthcoming with helpful information. Much time has passed since then. The world has mostly forgotten about Chernobyl, although its effects still linger, and will for many years to come. A half-life is a long time. The nuclear disaster at Chernobyl caused many people to lose their lives or their health, but for the survivors, life goes on. To me, Kyiv is still beautiful. The golden church domes, the blue water of the river Dnipro, the green trees, and of course, gorgeous girls everywhere. Best of all, though, the Soviet regime had its own meltdown. Just a few years after the meltdown in reactor number 4 in Chernobyl ruined my beautiful spring visit to Kyiv. I am Serhii Kaznady in Toronto, Canada. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Victor's Vignettes, stories from the life of Viktor Sergeyev in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. You can find Viktor's original transcripts and commentary at his blog, Vignettes, Life in Ukraine. For audio archives and links, visit www.nashholos.com. So until next time, до побачення!
Не питай, чому птаха так дивно підрізані крильця, і чому не летить він в недавно квітучі сади. Там колише мотуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. В ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Там колише мотуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. В ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Не дивусь, який дощ пролили тоді ядерні хмари, і посивіла то поля, благала у неба навзрив. Відверніть, боги, від народу рідного атомну кару, бо не знаю, чи винесе він ще один геноцид. Відверніть, боги, від народу кару, бо не знаю, чи винесе він ще один геноцид. Настравили роками Сибіром, мовчанням, гулагом, і дивувались, мабуть, чому вони й досі стоять. А тепер сховають Україну під прогнилим давно саркофагом, і на пам'ять героям на Прип'яті сотні розп'ять. А тепер сховають Україну під прогнилим давно саркофагом, і на пам'ять героям на Прип'яті сотні розп'ять. Та ніхто тих розп'ять не побачить, лиш мати в розпуці. Задалеко зайшов у гордині технічний прогрес, а у зоні відчуження в хаті бабця в полиняній хустці. вечора молить за спокій на кожній АЕС. А у зоні відчуження в хаті бабця в полиняній хустці щовечора молить за спокій на кожній АЕС. Не питай, чому в птаха так дивно підрізані крильця, і чому не летить він в недавно квітучі сади. Там колише матуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця. В ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди. Лише матуся колиску, у якої чорні їбильця, в ній Чорнобиль залишив свої невиправні сліди.
Yulia Dranchuk with Pisnya pro Chernobyl, Song about Chernobyl, and that is a soundtrack from a YouTube video released 2 years ago. Vyslúchejte rádiu programu Náš holos rádiu Klínskoho Korinia po mreži PCJ Radio, jaká podiaci vám anglískou mluvou z Británskou Kolumbii v Kanadě. Hovoríc Pavlina. You're listening to Náš holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network, coming to you from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. I'm your host, Paulette McQuarrie, po Klínske Pavlina. This year on the Julian calendar, May 1st is Easter Sunday. Here's another item from the Náš holos audio archives going back 10 years, an inspiring Easter story about the miracle of faith in the resurrection.
Christos was
Слава Ісусу Христу і добрий вечір. This is Father Bruce Power with Із Духові Твоєму, and with your spirit, here on Náš holos Radio. During this season of Holy Pascha, we reflect, and rightly so, on the resurrection of Christ, the wonder, the glory, that incredibly good news that we have heard for centuries, that Jesus truly did rise from the dead, and in his risen glory, he offers us a promise of hope. Now, any time there is faith, good news, hope, and a reason to rejoice, there are going to be, unfortunately, those who will come along and rain on the parade and try to bring it all down. But faith in the resurrection has a power all its own. The resurrection of Christ does not need the wisdom and the science and the philosophy of humanity to make it real. Faith in the resurrection brings us a level of hope and a level of strength that nothing else can bring us. There's actually a wonderful little story, it's a true story, that involves a Ukrainian priest during the Soviet era that shows the power of faith in the risen Christ and how nothing can truly stamp it out because it is indeed from God. The story goes like this. During the Soviet era, as we know, the Ukrainian churches, both the Ukrainian Catholic and the autocephalous Ukrainian Orthodox Church, were severely persecuted. They were outlawed, along with many other denominations. And even the state-run Russian Orthodox Church was simply that, state-run and under the controlling thumb of an atheistic regime. Religion was persecuted. It was one of the greatest persecutions of faith in the history of the world, and it happened right in our own times. And what happened was, on one Easter Sunday, on one celebration of Holy Pascha, the Soviet authorities decided to go into Western Ukraine and further stamp out, as though they thought they could, any manner of faith in the resurrection of Christ. So they had with them a captured priest. He was obviously humiliated, frightened, didn't know what would happen to him after that. And they also had with them several very brilliant scientists, writers, philosophers, experts the brightest of the brightest out of the Soviet Union. And they set up a podium there in this Ukrainian village and had all of these brilliant scholars give speech after speech after speech, and they forced the people to go out and listen. And there the scholars were up there going on and on and on and on, trying to make foolishness out of faith, trying to undo the faith of the people and force atheism upon them. And these great scholars went on, one after the other, on and on and on, with all of their great talks and speeches and presentations and so on. And then they took the priest, they grabbed them, dragged him up to the podium, and they said, "Now, you've heard all of these experts, now you're to disprove what they said. Go on, try it." The priest, a humble little priest, went up to the podium, and he said two words to the massive crowd that had gathered. He said, "Christos voskres," and the crowd thundered back, "Voistino voskres." For those who don't understand Ukrainian, he said, "Christ is risen," the traditional greeting that Eastern Christians use with each other at this time of the year. And the crowd responded back with the usual reply, "Indeed, he is risen." That's all he said. That's all he needed to say. And the crowd's response was proof. The Soviet authorities ended up letting him go, and got out of there quickly. The priest wasn't humiliated. The faith wasn't humiliated. The good villagers weren't humiliated. Those who thought they had great human wisdom and knowledge, the atheists, were humiliated. The Soviets were humiliated. They humiliated themselves by blinding their own eyes to the wonder and the beauty and the message of hope that the resurrection brings. And that story of the Ukrainian priest, and it is a true story indeed, reminds us that it is in the simplicity of one's heart, the depth of one's soul, it is in the faith that we behold the resurrection of Christ. And as the beautiful prayers of the Voskresnyo Utrenyo, or the resurrectional matins that we celebrate on Holy Pascha, say, "Having beheld the resurrection of Christ, come, let us worship the Holy Lord Jesus. For Jesus has risen from the dead, as he foretold, granting us eternal life and great mercy." Christos voskres, voistino voskres. This is Father Bruce with Nash Holos Radio, s Bohom.
На воскреснень Бога розтачаться образи Його.
На воскреснень Бога розтачаться образи, на біжах розлізає воскресна витяжчиє.
На воскреснень Бога,
яко іще зоє дивись та іще розу, яко стає Твого сходниця огня, так доповість небі сіновниця ім'ящин Бога. Замислюючися красним знамененням і веселий їх новорушим.
На воскреснень Бог.
Радуйся, о пречесний, і животворящий, кресте Господні, проняючи пісні, силою розп'ята на тебе. Господа нашого Ісуса Христа, воскресе, і попрощемо силу дьяволю, і даровавшемо нам свій чесний крест на проданіє супостата.
На воскреснен Бог, на воскреснен
Бог, пречесний і животворящий,
воскреснен Бог,
на
And a lovely Easter hymn, Let God Arise, performed by the Heavenly Hosts from Lviv. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and online at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com. Не жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому висказати, до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Щастя прилітає і відлітає, а надія все біля вас буває. And our proverb of the week translates as good fortune comes and goes, but hope always remains. Well, that about brings us to the end of another edition of Nash Holos. To take us to the end of our program, the By Request Band from Steinbach, Manitoba, and the Primetime Polka. I'm Paula Demchuk-Macquarie, Polkadinska Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.